Welcome to the Old Time Radio Westerns. I'm your host, Andrew Rines, and this episode's brought to you by our members. Without those guys, we couldn't actually make this show possible. Patreon and our normal members. Again, thank you guys. I deeply appreciate it. If you want to become a Patreon member, go to otrwesterns.com/donate, or the standard donation is still up. Go to otrwesterns.com. It's on the right-hand side. Let's get into today's episode. Today's episode is going to be Challenge of the Yukon. Original air date is October 1st, 1948, and the title is Find the Body. Hope you enjoy, and again, thanks for listening.
Now, as gunshots echo across the windswept, snow-covered reaches of the wild Northwest, Quaker Popped Wheat and Quaker Popped Rice, the breakfast cereal shot from guns, present the Challenge of the Yukon. It's Yukon King, swiftest and strongest lead dog of the Northwest, blazing the trail for Sergeant Preston of the Northwest Mounted Police in his relentless pursuit of lawbreakers.
Run, King! Run, you huskies!
Gold. Gold discovered in the Yukon. A stampede to the Klondike in the wild race for riches. Back to the days of the gold rush. With Quaker Puffed Wheat and Quaker Puffed Rice bringing you the adventures of Sergeant Preston and his wonder dog Yukon King as they meet the Challenge of the Yukon. Say, you can try them all. But when you sit down to a breakfast of Quaker Puffed Wheat or Rice topped with milk and fruit, you'll agree there's no beating this eating. Talk about good. These ready-to-serve giant, king-size, premium grains of wheat or rice have added food values of restored natural grain amounts of vitamin B1, niacin, and iron. What's more, they are shot from guns, exploded up to 8 times normal size to make them crisp and tender, bigger and better tasting. Try this thrifty, easy-to-fix deluxe treat that makes the whole family breakfast happy. Try Quaker Puffed Wheat or Rice tomorrow. The town of Tumble Rock was as rough as any community in the entire Yukon Territory. Constable Brooks did his best to maintain law and order, but he was ineffectual against Ace Broderick, who ran the Tumble Rock Cafe, and the grim ruffians who frequented the place. The local lawman was glad to unload his responsibility on Corporal Newton of the Northwest Mounties, who had just arrived at his office.
I'm telling you, Corporal Newton, that Broderick outfit is just too strong for me to handle. Broderick does what he pleases in that cafe and gets away with it.
Have you proof that his friends have broken the law?
Proof? A man don't get proof against the Broderick outfit, Corporal. There's not a man in town would dare to testify against any of those gunslingers. Well, Dolly, sakes alive, what's ailing you, girl?
It's my dad. He's just got home from North Creek.
Now, calm down, Dolly, calm down. This here is Corporal Newton. Corporal, meet Dolly Martin.
Hello, Miss Martin.
Hello.
Her folks are among the first to settle in this part of the country. Now, sit down here, honey. Tell me about your dad. Did he sell his interest in that mining claim?
Yes. Yes, he did. He got $5,000 in cash. But Ace Broderick stole the money from him.
Ace Broderick, huh?
Broderick not only stole the money, but he had Dad beaten up.
Where's your dad now?
He's home. You see, last night when he got into town, it was almost midnight. Well, he hadn't had supper, so he stopped into Broderick's place for a bite to eat before he came home. He started eating, and that's all he can remember until he wakened this morning.
Where'd he wake up?
In Broderick's office. He was dizzy and weak, and his money was gone. He accused Broderick of putting a drug into his food and stealing his money.
You see, Corporal Newton, that's just the kind of trick that Broderick would pull.
Mm-hmm.
What'd Broderick say?
Oh, he said Dad had spent the night gambling and drinking and had lost his money.
The lying polecat. Your pa never drinks and never gambles.
And then when Dad argued, Broderick called his men. They beat him and threw him out of the cafe. Can't something be done?
I don't know, Dolly. It's your father's word against Ace Broderick, and a dozen men who'd swear that Broderick is telling the truth. Broderick and Slick McGill would laugh at me if I'd talk to him.
Who is Slick McGill?
Oh, he was a lawyer back in the States. He's a smooth-talking critter. He's Broderick's partner.
Brooks, do you think this girl's father is telling the truth?
Bill Martin? Why, I'd stake my life on it.
Well, of course he's telling the truth.
I've known Bill Martin for over 20 years, and I've yet to hear him say anything that isn't true.
That's all I wanted to know.
What are you going to do?
The mounted police are given broad powers to serve justice on the spot. I'm going to see about getting back Martin's cash.
Well, I'll go with you.
You go home with this girl and see what you can do for her father. I think I can handle the situation better if I'm alone.
Broderick's cafe was practically deserted at that hour of the morning. When the youthful corporal entered, he saw four hard-faced men idling at a corner table and a swamper languidly mopping the floor. The bartender turned from the glass he had been polishing and greeted the Mountie.
Well, Redcoat, huh?
Where's Broderick?
Why are you asking? Why do you want to see him?
No.
Hey!
Where's Broderick?
Let go of my coat.
I have no time to waste. Answer my question quickly.
All right. The boss is in his office. It's that door right there.
Thanks.
You needn't get so rough with a man.
Well, look who's here. A Mountie.
I'm Corporal Newton. Are you Ace Broderick?
That's right. And this is my partner, Slick McGill.
It's customary to rap on a door, especially when the door is marked private.
Broderick, last night a man named Martin came in here with a lot of money.
Oh, yeah, I remember the poor galoot. Should have known better to mix gambling and drinking.
I came to get the cash he lost.
You what?
Hand it over.
Say, now, just what kind of talk is that?
Corporal, I don't know what you've heard. But I'm sure if you had the true facts, you'd know better than to expect Mr. Broderick to refund any gambling losses.
Martin didn't lose his money gambling, and you two know it.
I'll see here, Corporal. I have witnesses.
This is not a court trial, and I'm not interested in what your witnesses say. Martin was robbed, and I'm here to get his money. Perhaps if it's returned to him, he'll let the matter drop and overlook the beating you gave him. Now hand it over.
Mountie?
You think you can come here and bulldoze me?
No, you don't, Broderick.
Boy, you trying to pull a sneak gun, huh?
Did you really think you could get away with shooting an officer?
I can get away with anything.
Wait a minute, Broderick. Don't lose your temper.
And you keep out of this. I'll show this Mountie a thing or two.
Broderick!
Sorry, Broderick. I didn't mean to knock you down, but you shouldn't swing on me.
Why, you...
Come on, I'll help you to your feet.
Let me alone. What's the matter with you, Slick? Can't you give your partner a hand when you see him beaten up like this?
It's your argument. Maybe you'd better do as the Mountie says and hand over the money.
All right, I'll give it back. Got some cash right here in this drawer.
Now you're showing sense. Don't try any more sudden tricks, Broderick.
Fooled you, didn't I? You never looked for me to shoot from the drawer of my desk.
You won't get away with it.
Hey, you quick-tempered jughead.
Ah, that Mountie had it coming.
Mr. Broderick, everything all right in there?
Get away from that door, Baldy. Go back to your bar.
Wait a minute. You better let me handle this from now on. Come in here, Baldy.
I heard a gunshot.
I said come in here.
The Mountie. Mr. Broderick, he's dead.
Well, what about him?
Any strangers out in the big room?
No, Mr. McGill. There's no one out there except the boys that don't hear nothing and don't ask questions. Gosh, a Mountie. This is bad.
He pulled a gun on me first. He was going to shoot me. It was self-defense.
Shut up, you fool. You know better than to try a story like that. You'd have been smart to return the cash as that Mountie wanted. When you shot him, you dug a deep hole. And you're at the bottom of it. You're in trouble.
All right, McGill. I'm in trouble, and I admit it. Get a couple of the boys. Bury him somewhere so he'll never be found.
You can't bury anything when the ice is as thick as it is now. And the ground is frozen underneath it.
I'll get him out of here. Get him where I can't see him. Get him out. Do something.
Yes, I'll do something. You just keep your head. From now on, listen to me and do as I say. And you, Baldy, I'll give you some instructions.
It was several weeks later when Sergeant Preston and his great dog, King, visited Constable Brooks in the town of Tumble Rock.
You see, Brooks, Corporal Newton was supposed to report to headquarters. When there was no word from him, they sent us out.
Us?
King and me.
Oh, yes, of course, Sergeant. You and your dog. Well, I've given you the facts. You've put them down in your notebook.
Let me check them, will you? Newton left your office here to call on Broderick.
That's right, Sergeant Preston. That was the last any of us heard of him.
You don't know whether he got to the cafe or not.
I waited around a long time, and when Newton didn't come back, I went to see Broderick. He said he hadn't seen anything of Corporal Newton.
What do you think?
Well, I don't trust Broderick. I wouldn't believe anything he told me. And the same goes for his partner, Slick McGill. As for the barkeeper and the swamper and the rest of Broderick's gang, there isn't a one of them would go against anything that Broderick says.
You think Newton reached the cafe?
Now, here's the way I size it up, Sergeant Preston. I figure something must have happened to him in the cafe.
And Broderick knows what happened.
Broderick knows. Sure he does. And so does Slick McGill, his partner, and the bartender. And so do a number of others.
All right, Brooks. Thanks for your help.
And here's something else you should know, Sergeant.
Huh? What's that?
I went looking for Newton about an hour after he left here.
Yes?
Broderick and Slick McGill were there together in Broderick's office. They were wearing their mackinaws and hats.
Don't they have a stove in that cafe?
They have one, and she was going full blast. But in spite of that, the office was cold. The window was wide open.
Wide open?
Mighty cold day, too, Sergeant. They had the window open because they wanted to air out the office.
Why?
Because a gun had been fired. In spite of the fresh air, I smelled powder smoke.
Oh.
It wasn't very strong, but I've got a good nose, and I know powder smoke when I smell it.
That's very interesting.
And there's something else. The floor between Broderick's desk and the office door was fresh scrubbed, not the whole floor, just that one part.
As if someone wanted to wash out bloodstains?
That's what I'm getting at, Sergeant.
Uh-huh.
Broderick saw me eyeing the floor where it was still damp. He said something about the bartender having dropped a tray full of food and drinks.
Thanks, Brooks. We'll see what Broderick has to say.
And just a second, Sergeant. One more thing before you go.
Yes?
Be careful. Broderick's awful hot-tempered.
Hot-tempered enough to shoot a man, even a Northwest Mounted Policeman. Come on, King, let's call on Broderick.
During the walk from the constable's office, the great dog King, trotting at his master's side, noticed that Sergeant Preston was thinking deeply. In front of the cafe, the bounty paused. King looked up inquiringly.
King, this looks like murder. It's going to be mighty hard to prove. They're going to try something, boy. They'll try to make Broderick show his hand.
We'll continue our story in just a moment. Say, when you're sitting in a stadium or listening at home to big-time football games this fall, that's when you'll want to know the team colors and what the flag or pennant of the school you're rooting for looks like. Well, sir, you won't be missing out if you've been collecting the swell new series of college football pennant cutouts now on all new packages of Quaker Puff Wheat and Quaker Puff Rice. There are 48 famous authentic pennants or flags in all, printed right on the back of 8 different packages of the cereal shot from guns. And they're yours at no extra cost right now at your grocer's. You've nothing to send in, no money, no box tops, no coupons. That's how easy it is to start collecting these 48 different colored flags with college seal, initials, name, or nickname. Army, Navy, Michigan, Notre Dame, Pennsylvania, UCLA, famous leading schools the country over, all are yours. So hurry to your grocer. Ask for the special new packages of wheat or rice shot from guns. Look for the same familiar big red and blue Quaker package. On the back, get colorful, authentic college pennants now on every package of delicious Quaker puffed wheat and Quaker puffed rice. And now to continue our story. Corporal Newton had disappeared, and Sergeant Preston had reason to believe that his brother Mounty had been killed. Suspicion centered on the town boss, a man named Broderick who owned the cafe. But it was going to be very difficult to make a case against Broderick. Sergeant Preston decided on a daring plan that he hoped might make the killer show his hand. With King at his side, the Mounty went to Broderick's cafe. He strode through the long bar room, looking neither to the right nor left, and opened the door to Broderick's office.
Hey, what?
I want to talk to you, Broderick.
Mounty.
Come on, King. Mind if I step in?
I did mind. It wouldn't matter. You are in. Might at least rap on the door.
Yes, I might.
And that dog. I don't like dogs. I don't allow him in my place.
He doesn't like dogs, King. Just sit there in the corner and be quiet, boy.
What do you want?
I'm Sergeant Preston.
Well, what about it?
You're not very consistent, Broderick.
Huh?
I understood that you liked a lot of fresh air. It's much warmer today than it was when the constable was here. But today, your window's closed.
You mind if I keep my window closed? Is there a law against it? A
lot of smoke in here, too. But it's tobacco smoke. Not nearly as objectionable as burnt gunpowder.
See here, mister. Just what are you after?
A few weeks ago, Corporal Newton came here, but he didn't leave.
That's not so. Newton wasn't inside my place.
I meant that Newton came here to Tumble Rock. Floor been scrubbed recently?
Oh, stop beating around the bush. What do you want?
Did you kill Corporal Newton?
What?
Constable Brooks thinks you did.
Why?
Did Slick McGill witness the shooting?
There wasn't any shooting. I know better than to shoot a Mountie. You think I'm crazy enough to figure that I could get away with shooting a Mountie? You think for one minute...
A hot-tempered man does foolish things. You are hot-tempered, aren't you, Broderick? I'll bet that temper of yours has gotten you into a lot of trouble. What's this in the door?
A bullet hole. That's an old one.
Oh? Doesn't look so very old.
I tell you...
Quiet! Let me examine this. Now, let me see.
Sergeant Preston turned his back on the man behind the desk and examined the bullet hole very closely.
If you fired from where you're sitting, a bullet would enter the door at just about this point, after going through a man who stands where I am.
Unseen by Preston, Broderick drew a sneak gun from beneath his coat and took aim at the Mountie's back.
I've had enough of this!
With the appearance of the gun, King went into action, leaping at Broderick.
No! That's it, King! Take him away! Take him away! Let go of me! Make him let go! He'll break my arm!
First, I'll take this gun. All right, King. That'll do, boy.
That dog!
So you were going to gun me, eh, Broderick? Shoot me in the back. Is that how you shot Newton?
No.
Or did you shoot him when he was facing you?
Listen, Preston, listen to me.
If King hadn't been watching, you'd have killed me. Now, let's have the truth. What happened to Newton?
Come on,
out with it. He did come here, didn't he? He came and got you angry, and you shot him, isn't that it?
What's going on in here?
Slick,
this Quiet, King. Keep out of it, boy, for the time being.
How did you get in here?
You must be Slick McGill.
Yes, you call him.
Your partner here just tried to shoot me in the back.
Broderick, you fool.
Just the way he shot Corporal Newton.
No, I didn't. Slick, I didn't say a thing. He's trying to pin the Newton murder on me.
So Newton was murdered.
You'd better keep your mouth shut. The first thing you know, you'll give the Mountie the idea that you had something to do with Newton's disappearance.
And you admit knowing he disappeared.
Everyone in town knows that. The constable has been asking questions for the past several weeks.
Oh.
It is quite possible that he met with foul play. There are a number of rather rough characters in Tumble Rock, but of course, it would be practically impossible to prove he was murdered, unless you could find his dead body.
McGill, you've given me an idea.
Indeed.
I should have done that in the first place.
Should have done what?
Should have found the body. It won't be hard to find with King's help. Yes, boy, we'll start out right away. Broderick, for the time being, I'm going to overlook the fact that you drew a gun on me.
My partner has a habit of drawing his gun quite often.
Oh?
It's just a nervous gesture, Sergeant. You wouldn't shoot anyone.
At least, not while King's on watch. Come on, King. By the way, Broderick, you won't have to scrub your floor today, will you?
Why?
Broderick, how many times must I tell you to control that temper?
But Slicky, he knows a lot more than he's telling.
Wait a minute. Let me make sure he's not listening outside the door. It's all right. He's going out the front door.
Do you think you'll find the body?
No.
But that dog of his. That dog's plenty smart. I've heard of King.
Broderick, if the dog had a scent to follow, it would be different. But he has nothing. Now stop worrying. Let me handle things.
Sergeant Preston and King hurried back to the office of Constable Brooks. When the Mountie told about his call on Broderick, grizzled old lawman nodded knowingly.
You see what I mean, Sergeant Preston? Broderick's got a hair trigger temper. You took a big chance getting him riled like that, then turning your back on him.
It wasn't such a big chance, Brooks. King was right there, and he watched every move Broderick made.
But even so, why'd you take such a risk?
Three reasons. First, I wanted to let Broderick know that he was suspected. Second, I wanted to see if he'd go all the way.
All the way?
He drew a gun on me, so it's reasonable to believe that he'd draw on Corporal Newton.
I reckon that's right. But you said there were three reasons. What's the third?
I wanted Broderick to see King in action.
And according to what you just told me, he saw plenty of action. But why?
Because Broderick must be made to think that King can do something that's beyond the capabilities of other dogs.
I reckon everyone that's heard of your dog knows that.
In this case, we're called on to accomplish more than even King can do.
Meaning what?
Before we can file a charge of murder, we've got to find the body.
Newton's?
Yes, and that won't be easy. You see, there's no trail for King to follow. Weeks have elapsed since Newton disappeared. The trail's cold, literally and figuratively. Been a lot of snow since then. And even if there hadn't, King has no scent to follow.
That's so, Sergeant. The ground's too hard frozen for burying. But there's 1,000 places nearby where a body could be hid. What's your next move?
Broderick's men have got to show us the hiding place.
How?
Brooks, you told me there were several of Broderick's friends in the cafe when you went there a couple of hours after Newton left your office.
That's right.
Who were they?
Well, there was the swamper and the barkeep, and there were 4 men playing cards at one
swamper.
Table. The swamper? Huh?
You said that Broderick's office floor had been washed.
Part of it.
The swamper would have to be in on it. He must know about that murder.
He probably does. You can never make him talk. He and everyone else who works for Broderick knows what would happen to anyone who crosses that crook.
What's the swamper's name?
Lafitte.
I'd like to get him in here, casually.
Casually?
I don't want to make a point of bringing him in.
No arrest?
By no means.
Well, he passes my office on his way to and from work. He generally goes by in the morning around 9 o'clock.
That'll do it. Come on, King.
Well, where are you going now?
We're leaving town. But we'll be back early in the morning. Meet me here about 8:30.
Good enough, Sergeant. I don't know what you've got in mind, and I don't like to discourage you. But if you're thinking of getting Lafitte to squeal on Broderick...
No, Constable. I'm counting on Lafitte to squeal, but not on Broderick. See you in the morning.
Lafitte, who mopped the floors and washed the dishes in Broderick's cafe, was on his way to work at the usual time. As he came abreast the constable's office, the door opened and Brooks called out.
Hey, you, Lafitte!
Eh? Oh, bonjour, monsieur. Bonjour.
Come into my office for a minute, will you?
Monsieur,
Sergeant Preston would like a couple of words with you.
Oh, very bien.
You know Sergeant Preston, don't you? Sergeant, this is Jean Lafitte.
Oh, yes. I saw you yesterday when I left the cafe.
Oui, monsieur.
Sit down, Lafitte. Oh, just a minute. I'll take that stuff off the chair. Just brought it in this morning.
Hey, boys.
Maybe I'd better lock those things up in the safe.
No hurry, Constable. I'll just put them on your desk here.
Well, that's important evidence. You don't want to lose it.
I'll keep an eye on it. Sit down, Lafitte.
Oh, yeah.
Now, you know I'm working on the murder of Corporal Newton, don't you?
I do not know anything, monsieur.
But
I...
you did know that Newton had been shot.
No. I hear that he's being looked for. I do not know that he is dead.
No doubt of that. Now, Lafitte, I'm going to give you a chance to tell me all you know about the shooting. I'd advise you to tell the truth.
But I know nothing. I tell you, I know nothing. You cannot accuse me of anything. I do nothing but wash the floor.
You washed the floor of Broderick's office on the day of the murder.
I wash it when he tells me to do so. That is all I know. I know nothing, monsieur. I know nothing at all. You think I am killer? No.
Take it
I'm
easy.
Not killer.
Take it
no,
easy.
You have to question him, Sergeant.
Well, I just saw him passing. Thought he might be able to tell us a few things. But never mind defeat.
Am I free to go?
Yes.
We'll see. I'm sorry, but I am late for work.
Oh, by the way, Lafitte.
Oui?
Don't tell anyone I called you in here. Just forget about it.
Oh, oui, monsieur. I do as you say. I forget you call me in.
When Lafitte reached the cafe, Broderick and McGill stood near the bar, and a couple of their friends were at a nearby table. They, as well as Baldy, knew by the swamper's manner that something unusual had taken place.
What's the matter with you, Lafitte?
Monsieur. I'm stopped at the office of the constable.
Brooks office? Why?
That Mountie is there. The Sergeant Preston.
I thought he left town last evening.
He did.
He's back, huh? Why'd he stop you?
I am inside. I am to sit by the desk and answer questions.
About what?
Oh, Monsieur Broderick. He's about the murder of the Corporal Newton.
Who said he was murdered?
It is known, monsieur. The sergeant knows it. He has found the body.
What? Who says so?
Did he tell you that?
No, he does not say so. But he has things. The gun belt. The leather pouch, the braid, and also I see some letters that are addressed to the Corporal Newton.
Gil, do you hear that, confound it? You, Baldy, I told you to hide that body.
Now, boss, I did. Me and Pete...
Wait a minute. How do we know the body has been found?
But I saw those things.
Maybe Preston just laid them out there so you would see them. Tell us about them.
That's right.
Might have expected Lafitte to break down and tell what he knew. Did you say anything?
No, no, monsieur. I said nothing
at all. If Preston is playing a trick, we've got to know it. Unless he finds the body, he'll have no case at all if we stick to our story. Bobby.
Huh?
You go and find out.
Find out?
Go and see if things are as you left them. Gun belt pouch and everything else in place. We'll soon know if Preston is trying to trick us.
Baldy left the cafe and traveled by a devious route over icy ground that showed no footprints to a cave about a quarter of a mile beyond the edge of town. Inside, he moved some heavy rocks that had been mounded to form a cairn. It was an hour later. Roderick and McGill were waiting in the cafe for Baldy's return. Lafitte had taken the place of the bartender in the meantime.
Maybe someday, Lafitte, you can have a permanent job as a barkeep.
Roderick, look. That Monty.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Are you back again?
Official business this time. Take off the apron, Lafitte. You're going with us.
What you mean?
You're under arrest as an accessory to murder.
What's that?
You know, Broderick, when you see a man beside a dead body, it's pretty good evidence of murder.
Why?
Steady, Broderick. Let me do the talking. Now, see here, Sergeant.
Baldy's in jail. When he realized we could hang him for the murder of Corporal Newton, he told all he knew.
It's a trick if you think
Not
I'm...
Not this time, Broderick. It was a trick to make you send someone to find out if the body had been discovered. King followed Baldy's trail. You are under arrest for murder.
No.
McGill, Lafitte, and Pete Savoy are under arrest as accessories.
Well, I won't be taken alive.
No, you don't, Ace.
Get him.
Now we've got to fight.
Let's get in, Rick.
Great Dog King came charging from the street where he'd been waiting with Constable Brooks and Bill Martin. When the three joined in the fight, the end was quick and coming.
I quit! Roll off this door!
All right, King, that'll do, boy. As I said before, you're all under arrest. If anyone wants to renew the fight, we may save the hangman some work.
I could not help it. My part, he made me clean the floor. He would kill me if I had talked.
Shut up, Lafitte!
You'll have your day in court, Lafitte, the same as Baldy and the others.
Oh, Sergeant, this is Bill Martin. You never met him, but I thought I'd ask him to join me for the finish. You see, he's the one that Broderick robbed of $5,000.
Oh, I'm glad to know you, Martin. I don't know whether or not we can get your money back, but we'll try.
It's all right with me if you don't get it back, Sergeant. It's worth a lot more than that to get these polecats out of business.
Yeah, that mangy dog. Yes, you. You hadn't have jumped me out of finished Preston yesterday.
I agree with you, Broderick. Thanks to King, this case is closed.
In just a moment, Sergeant Preston will give you a preview of next Monday's program. Don't forget, here's how easy it is to collect official, authentic college pennant cutouts of your favorite big-time football teams or schools. These famous, colorful flags come only on the backs of packages of breakfast cereals shot from guns. That's Quaker Puffed Wheat and Quaker Puffed Rice. These key new college pennants or flags are yours without it costing you a single extra penny. So take a tip. Ask now for Quaker Puffed Wheat or Rice. And here's another tip. Whatever you do, be sure to listen to this program next week. You're going to hear a very special announcement. Terrific news. You're going to have a chance to get something that's out of this world. So stand by. Be on hand. Be listening next week. These radio dramas, a feature of the Challenge of the Yukon Incorporated, are created and produced by George W. Trendle and directed by Fred Flowerday. This story was written by Fran Stryker. The part of Sergeant Preston is played by Paul Sutton. They are brought to you every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the same time by Quaker Puffed Wheat and Quaker Puffed Rice, the breakfast cereal shot from guns. Listen Monday when Sergeant Preston and Yukon King meet the Challenge of the Yukon in the adventure of...
The extra uniform. Little did I think when I started out with an extra uniform on my sled that it would cause me to be hunted as a criminal, but it did. And King and I found ourselves in serious trouble, and I nearly died in a blizzard. Don't miss the unfolding of this exciting story.
Be sure to hear this exciting story Monday. Till then, this is Jay Michael wishing you goodbye, good luck, and good health from Quaker Puffed Wheat and Quaker Puffed Rice. So long. For a delicious hot breakfast, eat Quaker Oats.
The giant of the cereals is Quaker Oats. Yes, the giant of the cereals is Quaker Oats.
Delicious, nutritious, makes you feel ambitious.
The giant of the cereals is Quaker Oats.
Say, boys and girls, do you want to be a star someday in sports and activities? Then start on good Quaker Oats breakfast tomorrow. Because nourishing oatmeal gives you more growth and endurance than any other whole grain cereal. Still less than one penny a serving. Quaker and Mother's Oats are the same. This is ABC, the American Broadcasting Company.
Welcome back. I hope you guys enjoyed this episode of OTRWesterns.com. Send me an email, podcast@OTRWesterns.com. Don't forget to follow us on Facebook, OTRWesterns.com/Facebook. And we're also on Twitter, OTRWesterns.com/Twitter. Call, leave me a voicemail, 707-986-8739. Don't forget to rate this show on iTunes, OTRWesterns.com/iTunes. This episode's copyright under the attribution non-commercial share-alike copyright. For more information, go to otrwesterns.com/copyright. Hope you enjoy. Again, thanks for listening, and have a great day.